Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Steve Cochran Show on the air. Beautiful day out there. Mary, you swimming? How was the commute this morning? You look good, by the way.
Oh,
you look ready.
Thank you. I'm ready. Yes, I skied in. I think Mary Vandeveld was on a wave runner. That's how she got here.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't have good balance. It wasn't very pleasant.
Mary, you were so cheery this morning when I walked in. It was unbelievable.
Me?
Yeah.
Really?
You were doing jumping jacks.
Oh, yeah.
I saw all this energy.
I have my little waiter shoes on. You know, I was going to wear my boots, but I thought, oh, this is bad. I mean, it's flooded in some areas again.
Our neighborhood is flooded.
Yeah, usual spots and viaducts and Lower Wacker. Don't you love driving on Lower Wacker when the rain is falling
pouring down
above in those big clumps? And it just falls.
It's scary. I don't like it.
It's scary.
But the tornado warning, we should do the top six. Do we have to do the open before we say that?
Yeah,
let's
do.
Let's get an open rolling.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Y'all firing that weather. Number one in the top six is the tornado warning expired last night, but the rain and wind continuing. I didn't know there was a warning, to be honest.
There was, in like, I think LaSalle County is what I saw, and I saw this because we were watching Modern Family, and then Cheryl Scott came on the TV to tell us about the tornado warning, and then people on Twitter were all over her for interrupting Modern Family to tell us about tornadoes. It's not, she's trying to save lives. She's not, you know.
I support the Twitter people.
Come on.
I can't believe people watch things in real time.
Well, we were watching it recorded, but we still got her on. Her and then another guy, you know, telling us about the weather. But if you're in LaSalle County, it's scary waiting for a tornado, possibly. So,
well, yeah,
Grzanich, that bothers you. You want to be able to interrupt it. People are watching their TV, man. They don't want to know about a tornado.
Yeah.
See,
I don't even know what to say about that.
It's
like the people who called and gave death threats to the I can't remember what state it was in where they were doing the golf thing, where they interrupted the golf thing for
the
special
thing.
Report. People actually gave death threats to the TV meteorologists.
Okay, that's a little over the top. I'm just saying, guys, you know, they're enjoying their TV. They didn't want to hear about the tornado. It's just a normal human reaction. But then they realize that it's more important, Steve, and they defer to the news person like you. Do you have anything more on this, by the way?
About what?
Weather. No, I think the tornadoes
raining.
Oh, no. Are you crabby, Steve? How's your back?
No, it's better. It's a little bit better. Okay. I pulled my back yesterday.
Oh,
what'd
no.
What'd you do?
I don't know. I got up out of a chair. I literally got up out of a chair and did something to my back.
See,
that's what happens when you get old.
The other day, you needed a Tums.
Yeah, it was. Maybe that was the prequake.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe that was.
And
you didn't even have any food.
No, I didn't. Hadn't eaten anything.
Have you tried massages?
I couldn't even get up out of a chair to move yesterday to do anything. So, but it's better now.
Steve, that sounded to me like Mark was offering to give you a massage.
It made me a little uncomfortable. That's why I moved on. Because I thought,
awkward.
Well, Mark is offering me a massage.
I mean, I would. Steve, I want you to be healthy. You're an integral part of the show.
It's not wrong. It's not wrong.
Right. I was going to throw out yoga, but that seemed very aggressive. So I just offered, you know, a light little rub situation.
Mm-hmm. I think it's time to bring on the duck.
Maybe we can.
Good call, Mary. Good call.
We could bring in a professional. All right, number two here. Cubs band fan who made alleged racist hand gesture. He'll not be permitted on the grounds of Wrigley Field indefinitely. It's that OK sign, which is, of course, somehow turned into a white power sign. And this gentleman in a hoodie behind Doug Glanville on TV, super uncomfortable. Tons of stuff going on at Wrigley Field, which is like turning into a sociology experiment over there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Can I say my son is furious about this?
Okay.
You know, he's as a 22-year-old just typical guy. I call him a boy, but anyway, you know, he's just like, we do this, you know, once in a while. You know, if you see it, you don't acknowledge it, or you know, someone clobbers you or something. It's like, what? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, Mom, it's no big deal. They're making such a big deal out of this.
Well, it is a big deal if you're one of the communities that are impacted by white supremacy. I mean,
right? But he doesn't even think of it that way. I'm saying some, you know, boys out in the suburb don't even think of it as white supremacy. They didn't even bring that up.
Well, this symbol has turned into a white supremacist symbol as of 2017, so it's relatively new. But it's pretty clear that that's what was going on here. And I think that everybody, rational people, should be outraged by that. And this guy does not deserve to be able to go to a Cubs game or a White Sox game or any game if you're going to come in and do that type of level of activity. So I think the Cubs have actually done the right thing here in stepping in and taking care of it, which... I don't know. I don't know how you actually enforce keeping people out of the ballpark.
I always wonder that when they ban somebody.
Everybody could be doing it.
Do they set all the ushers down and you stare at the photo, you know, and make sure you remember the
face? I mean, literally, don't you have a photo at every gate?
I mean,
it's going to be really hard to enforce.
Well, and I think if you do get caught inside the ballpark again, you can be arrested for trespassing. I think that's the biggest part.
Oh, once you get in, that makes sense.
Once you get in, if you're caught there, then you can be, it's probably a felony trespassing.
Mark Carmen, you should follow up on this. Call the Cubs. Call the Cubs and say, what is the deal? If I get banned, how do you know I'm not in the park?
Okay, I can give Craig
floppy
a call.
Sun hat, you're in again.
Right. I mean, I know that people would get kicked out of the bleachers before because they had a little too much, and then they'd go back out, they'd find some scalper, go back in. These things happened back in the day.
I didn't know there was a Cubs jail.
Oh, there's a Cubs jail.
There is a Cubs jail.
You wouldn't think the friendly confines would have a holding facility, but they do.
Yeah, and someone on this staff, not this show, but at this station, was in Cubs jail.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, well, you can't tease us and not tell us that story. What
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, all right.
I'm guessing Dave Bennett.
Rhymes with Patty.
Oh, no.
What?
Patty went to Cubs jail? That's amazing.
What are you talking about? I didn't say that.
These things happen. She's told that story on the air.
What do you think about the baby name?
I think it's adorable. I love Archie.
Yep.
Royal Baby Archie. What was the middle name? Campbell?
Harrison.
Oh, Archie Campbell was a running back.
Jughead was number two, apparently, in the run.
Now, this Riverdale show, will they do something with this? Oh, they're probably done for the season.
Yeah, right? And they've got a problem. Luke Perry passed away. Luke Perry's the dad on that or whatever, the cool dad. So I'm not sure what's happening with Riverdale.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, so but I think it's adorable.
Next, Chicago farmers markets are open today. Anybody want some rutabagas? Some geraniums? What do you sell at a farmer's market? Mostly fruit.
See, I always go to the farmer's market and end up buying pie. And then I get cake.
You know who shows up at the farmer's market with those delicious pies and baked goods?
Yeah, there's so many goodies.
The Amish.
God bless the Amish.
Yeah. The Amish. Oh, man.
There's also flowers. A lot of flowers.
I mean, honestly, they spend the whole day throwing up barns and making stuff. Bacon stuff, I should say. Bacon and throwing up barns.
But there's a lot more that open. There's a couple that open next week and then, you know, starting in June and things like that. But like LaGrange, the one down here, opens today.
Yeah, here's one of my favorite radio stories. Amongst the idiots that used to run this place, one pulls me in for a meeting one day because I said something about the Amish. And it wasn't a derogatory thing. It was a smart-ass thing. They said, well, what am I supposed to do when they call? I said, well, I'm pretty sure they don't call. And secondarily, I'm pretty sure they don't have electricity. And third, I'm pretty sure they didn't hear the show. Genius. Next. Alabama seeks to criminalize most abortions. The state Senate could vote today on a measure that would entirely outlaw most abortions at every stage of pregnancy from conception on. Here's the problem with that. Federal law says you can't do that. Exceptions for rape, incest, and serious threats to women's health were being considered. Well, that's good of you. This, again, is in Alabama. That fight will continue. Look, before we do the last story here, we've now gone into, don't quack me here. We've now gone into a phase where every single school shooting is going to have an even greater tragedy because someone's going to try to save others. Kid in North Carolina the other day, he stood in front of the bullet, actually charged the shooter, and got shot three times, maybe four in the process. And as charter school in Highlands Park, Colorado, on Tuesday, Kendrick Castillo, and by the way, a lot of people who knew this kid said, no surprise, said if there's somebody in the class who was going to do this, it would be this guy. Kendra Castile lunged at the shooter and was shot and killed, but gave others time to hide at her desk and get away. Another true hero. I think he was 18 and 2 days away from graduation.
Yeah, it's really sad. His parents said, you know, he was our everything. So,
until it changes, it doesn't change. And it's beyond an embarrassment that we're the only country on the planet that has this problem. It's an outrage. And you should be outraged by it. And every decent Second Amendment supporter in this country, including me, ought to be outraged by it.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Oh, my word. That.
Here comes the sun.
Here comes the sun. Right. I did miss karaoke last night. Wow. Wow. Wow.
For those of you who have ever met Tom Skilling, you know that he is exactly the same guy on TV as he is off. And he is beyond friendly and beyond a great guy. Is it today? When's Weather Day?
Weather Day is May 14th.
Yeah, like I said, next week.
But we are going to give away a pair of tickets right now to the
But I want people to know, if you've never met Tom Skilling, he is as genuine as it gets.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy. Anyway, he's going to teach you about weather at the Sox game next week.
He is. He's going to do a full... It's Skilling live in concert prior to the game. See Tom's
website. I hope there's a rain
that
delay.
That includes video, trivia, and more. There's going to be trivia.
But it'd be cool if there's a rain delay, because then Tom could get on mic and explain why it's raining.
It's a pair of tickets to see the White Sox Weather Day presented by WGN-TV, Tuesday, May 14th, Sox versus Indians at 1:10 p.m. You can get tickets at whitesox.com.
It's a condensation that occurs in the clouds, and then the pellets of rain fall through the atmosphere to the ground.
Oh, Steve, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Steve, we have the second best thing to Tom Skilling. We have Steve Grzanich, who wishes he was Tom Skilling.
Oh, man. Everybody wishes they were Tom Skilling, right?
He's the best. Pat Brady's coming up. Chuck Todd is off this morning. Pat Brady's coming up to talk about, amongst other things, Donald Trump Jr. being subpoenaed to testify. I've never said this on the air before. You got nothing to hide. Then show up and talk.
I'm also a little confused, because didn't Mitch McConnell say the case was closed?
Yeah, he did.
I don't understand that.
It's crazy. Mitch is never wrong. 6:30, we'll get your headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, Pat Brady is standing by. We'll get to him in just a second. He's actually on his way to Springfield this morning. Chuck Todd is off, as I mentioned. We had a bunch of political news that broke yesterday. And we'll get Pat back on the phone after 7 to talk a little Springfield. But the national news comes first. Good morning, Pat Brady. Let me try that one more time. Good morning, Pat Brady.
Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Super Joe, could you tell whoever sets up the controls here to go ahead and turn the phone on, because I'm too much of an idiot to remember to do it until we've already had dead air? Anyway, Pat, how's the flooding downstate? I'm worried about folks.
You know, a lot of these cornfields filled with water. So I would assume the farmers are late getting their crops in. But a lot of water down here. It's very green.
That's what Orion said on Tuesday, that the, whatever they call it, the first plant is, it's all going to be less yield.
Yeah, 50% capacity.
So. Yeah, that's a real good time to impose tariffs with China. So.
Yeah, we'll get to that as time allows. All right, Donald Trump Jr. gets subpoenaed. But before we get to that, you and I were talking this morning as we were both headed in, you to Springfield, me here, about the five or six hotspots in the world. We're talking about North Korea. We're talking about Venezuela. We're talking about Russia. What else?
Venezuela, North Korea, Russia, Iran, and what am I leaving out? There's a lot of things going on in the world that are very threatening the United States, and a lot of the, like, for example, our Secretary of Defense hasn't been confirmed by the Senate yet. So if Donald Trump got subpoenaed, that's the big news nationally, but he's never going to go to that committee. He's going to take the Fifth Amendment. He didn't even talk to Mueller, and he said when he went to the Intel Committee before, he was only going to go once, so he's going to claim the Fifth because he doesn't have an executive privilege. But probably the big news about that is the Republican, like, committee issued the subpoenas, but I'd be surprised if he ever makes it to testify.
Well, and the reason I bring the hotspots in the world up, and the other one we weren't thinking of, is China, and the tariff situation you brought up in the beginning. is because the president of the United States, you know, told us North Korea was fine. Two more projectiles launched this morning. You know, he loves dictators, and the rest of the world is basically on fire in places where we used to help put it out. And he's busy tweeting. So if Junior doesn't show up for the subpoena, it's another just a mark in the road that goes, well, what are you hiding, dude? What are you hiding? Why? I mean, why can't you show up and talk? Transparency nonsense. Well, you're a prosecutor. I'm not. But this transparency nonsense about we have nothing to hide. Well, then show up.
Well, legally, I mean, the advice I would give him, too, would be don't testify or claim the fifth. There's some inconsistent statements he has.
Yeah, those are lies, Pat.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, inconsistent statements are lies.
Yeah, no, he got caught lying. There's no way he can go testify. I agree, but I guess from a news perspective and what's going on in the world, this continues to go. But the big news to me is this is the Intel Committee, and they're continuing to do a counterintelligence investigation even after Mitch McConnell said yesterday all these investigations are over. This committee is doing their work in a bipartisan way to get to the bottom of what the Russians are doing, and hopefully there'll be some legislation proposed to get after. Because I think actually this is a good development so far as the committee's actually functioning, but we'll never see Donald Trump Jr.
Donald Trump Jr. All right. And what confidence would the rest of the country have if he does show up and take the fifth or doesn't show up?
Well, it hurts him short-term politically and probably hurts his dad a little bit, but I do think there's some investigation fatigue on this from the political perspective. So, and I don't think Donald Trump Jr. has any great aspirations to run for political office after this. So it's a short-term deal for him. If you read the Mueller report, they basically came to the conclusion that there was no conspiracy because Donald Trump Jr. didn't quite understand the law in that you can't talk to a foreign country, especially one like the Russians.
However, a friend of mine who looks like you has taught me for years, ignorance is not a defense.
It's not a defense, but when you're talking about actually putting a case on, it's something you have to consider. If you read the passage in the Mueller reports, basically this guy was too stupid to know that this was against the law. We're not going to go after him. I mean, that's been something. Sorry to be so callous about it, but that's pretty much what he said.
All right, so as the sun rises, I think it still rises in the east, but in the country we're living in, who knows, it may have changed. What's going to happen today?
In the Congress?
Yeah.
Nothing. They really nothing. Probably not.
That's the thing.
It's the contempt. I mean, they held Eric Holder, Obama's attorney general, in contempt, and nothing happens. And Don Jr., his lawyer, says he's not going to come. Nothing's going to happen. I back in my day, when someone said they're going to take the fifth, I never dragged them in to make them do it. If they said they were going to do it, I said, fine, I'm not going to waste your time or mine.
So, yeah, Mark Carman, it's sort of like an intentional walk. You don't have to throw the pitches anymore. You just call it.
Just get there.
That was a good addition for baseball, Steve. Thanks.
So here's the thing, Pat Brady. As this goes forward, I'll take this up with Eric Edelstein as well. And as I said, we'll talk Springfield when we get you back on after 7 o'clock.
I'm not sure that Pat is available after 7.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we originally.
I have to zealously represent my clients at a hearing.
Yeah, so we're just talking.
Your hearing's not till 8.
But he can't be on the phone with us at 7:40.
What are you in a different time zone than I am in Springfield?
You've got the president calling at 7:10. You've got an MVPP.
All right, so we'll finish this now.
Yeah.
My agent said I need to start playing hard to get with you, Steve. So that's the bigger picture.
I'll take this up with Eric Edelstein when you're not available after 7. The point being that, and I tweeted this out the other day, congressional oversight is not optional. And oversight by the Democrats is not optional. Oversight by the Republicans is not optional. So in doing their job as a co-equal branch to make sure that the executive branch is doing their job, they have to move forward in any way they can. And for Nancy Pelosi and a bunch of coward Democrats to continue to go, well, it's not in our election best interest to go after an impeachment move at this point, knowing we'll lose. I get the politics. But I believe in the 60% of the country who is tired of Trump because of all the criminality he's been involved in and all the nonsense he continues to be involved in to take down the office. I think the majority of this country is waiting for somebody to stand up and be a hero. And the Democratic Party is completely blowing this now because that chunk of the country doesn't care if you can't get an impeachment. They want to at least see you try to defend the nation.
Yeah, but Nadler and these guys are overstating it, in my opinion. There's a constitutional conference. There's a confrontation between the two branches of government, but it's not a constitutional crisis. Right now, this is going to be in the court system for the next year and a half. And ask Eric about this, but I think the Trump people are making a mistake because now this goes to the court, and they rule that Mueller actually has to testify, and these people have to testify. All this testimony is going to drop next September when it matters, not so far out from the election. So can you imagine? In October, before the election, Bob Mueller getting up and testifying. I think they're better off to get it behind him. But, again, this is all now in the court system. They've pretty much done what they can. The Democrats aren't going to initiate impeachment, I don't think. And the rest of it, the courts are going to decide. So I agree with you. I don't like it either. And I think that he has done so much damage to a lot of institutions, from the media to the judiciary to now Congress. But right now we're kind of stuck where we are.
So my concern is that the rest of the country goes, yeah, I'm tired of it. You don't get to be tired of it. Sorry. If you want this country to continue to be a democracy and the number one nation on earth, then you've got to be involved. And the involvement is you have to force the people you elected to stand up and not be worried. Look, I could give a rat's butt if anybody gets reelected. Somebody stand up and protect the country. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. Do it.
And again, I think maybe that's what Senator Burr from North Carolina, who was one of the first people to come out, what the president did by issuing this subpoena to Donald Trump Jr. I'm sure the president's irritated beyond belief, but I think Senator Burr did the right thing, and the Intel Committee's doing the right thing. So maybe they're the heroes here. It's not on the House side, though, because it's all about politics.
Hey, Pat, do you know what today is the anniversary of?
What's the date?
May 9th. 2 years ago, James Comey was fired today.
And that was just one of the times.
And then Mueller was it.
And that was just one of the times Brady and I were on the phone going, well, he's done now.
And it
just like Glenn Close, he'd sit up in the bathtub and he'd still be alive.
Oh, I've glued my head back together so many times on this guy. But that's the unforced error part of Trump's problem. Had he not done that, you don't have a Mueller.
Right.
This is all his own doing, so... I think the Democrats, and Steve, I agree with you completely on the roles and people, how they should behave. But this, and Chuck Todd, I think, even agrees. I think the country is done with the investigation mode.
Don't care.
For the counterintelligence.
Don't care.
But
I don't care.
I know you don't. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying it politically, and Eric might have a different view, but I think, but I do think you've seen some of the candidates, like Kamala Harris, actually turn their sails a little bit on their message and go after the president more forcefully, which I think will help the Democratic nominee in the long run.
Carm?
I just try to remember a time when you ran for public office, your main thing was to serve the public.
Right.
That was your deal.
Not get reelected.
You were of high integrity. You wanted to put the country and values and morals ahead of you. I mean, we are so, well, politically, we can't do that. No, that's not what it's supposed to be about.
You almost want to look at everybody in Congress and just go, you know, you said that out loud. That's the stuff you normally say behind closed doors, and then you come out and lie to us. You said that out loud. By the way, Pat, a couple of textures. 815, what happened to accepting the Mueller report, Steve? I do accept the Mueller report. You know what I accept? I accept that you ought to go read it, because in the Mueller report it says, I cannot exonerate the President of the United States. I choose to have Congress handle this because I cannot go forward with the prosecution based on the policy of the Justice Department, but I cannot exonerate him. Read the report. Take the time. Read the report.
Yeah, I read it, and it's long. It took me forever. But if you read it, you take away from the first part of the report that this is a White House in chaos, and the second part of the report that if this were anybody but the President of the United States, he would have been indicted. But he is the President of the United States. You got to take that in consideration. And the third point is that press conference and what Bill Barr did, the Attorney General, he completely misled the American public as to the contents of the report. He'll never pay a price for it, but it's clear he did, and that's his reputation the rest of his life, and he's going to go down with Trump whenever Trump exits.
And then another texter, why, Steve, aren't you outraged by what the FBI and the CIA has done against its own citizens? Because you got to turn off Fox News for 10 minutes and do your homework as well. A FISA warrant is a completely legitimate way to go about doing an investigation based on the defense of this country. It's not spying.
Yeah, and even the FBI director in his testimony this week said that he didn't see any evidence that it was done improperly. And I don't think people understand, nor should they really. There's about an eight-step process within the FBI, then to the Justice Department, before you can get a FISA warrant. Then it goes to a judge. So it's not. It would have to be a conspiracy greater than any conspiracy we've ever seen to suggest the FBI somehow conspired to spy on the Trump campaign. There were legitimate reasons to get that FISA warrant. Now, there's going to be a report coming out in a couple of weeks that investigates this, and we'll see. But I would be very much surprised if there was any improper conduct in the issuance of a FISA warrant.
All right, Pat, give me the snapshot of what's going on in Springfield. Pat Brady.
Hey, really quickly, I pulled over at an off-ramp here just because I didn't want to talk when I'm driving, and I have to thank the Illinois State Police. We've lost a couple of them this year. The guy just pulled over. I thought he was writing a ticket. Just was checking to see if I was all right. So there are a lot of people out there doing some good things for the country. Big thing is going to be this. Are they going to get the progressive income tax through? This week, the big debate is on legalization of marijuana and sports betting. So, and then those are the three big issues for right now, including a budget and maybe an energy bill. So we're down to the last 15 or so days of session. Session ends at the end of May, and hopefully a lot of this will get done or not get done. The Republicans are obviously fighting the income tax increase, and a lot of the Republicans are fighting the legalization of marijuana.
Yeah, and as the sun comes up in Colorado this morning, Denver is legalizing shrooms. Mushrooms.
Are you kidding me?
No. Legalized and decriminalized.
Have you ever seen anybody eat a mushroom?
Decriminalized. I'm sorry, did a what?
Have you ever seen anybody after they eat those things?
No. No. I don't like mushrooms in a restaurant, let alone the drug version.
Well, these guys in college ate them, and they put the furniture upside down and were pretending the floor was the ceiling.
Yeah, it's a hallucinogen.
But yeah, they're not good.
So if you're headed for Colorado... There's a lot of places you can fall off cliffs there. It just seems like a bad idea.
Sure.
All right, Pat, enjoy your day.
All right, thanks, guys.
It's Pat Brady, and he's in Springfield actually doing his real job. Like, that's important.
A texter points out that you need to take a deep breath because you don't have very much hair to lose left. So we need you to relax.
Well, they're right about that.
And we're going to have to get you into some yoga, I think. We need you to start taking yoga.
Is that BYOG?
Yeah.
Bring your own goat?
Yep.
The president's calling in a few minutes. Apparently, he just heard my complimentary words.
He's really excited to talk to you.
He's calling in a few minutes, yeah.
I'm excited to hear it.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Mark Carman's here. Mark's in for Dave Bennett.
Hey, Steve.
And Sandberg just asked... Yeah, for people to don't know the layout here, Steve Grzanich and Mary Vandeveld are in the newsroom, which is 100 yards or so from where we are in the studio. And Sandberg just asked Mark Carman and I a question, which we cannot answer. And that question was, do you know how hard it is for a girl to pick out an outfit on a day like this? And I just looked at her and said, no, I really don't.
I looked down at my shoes, Steve. I didn't act like I heard what she was saying.
You were frightened by the question.
Yeah.
Like, well, because Mark, he's wearing jeans, a button-up, and a sport coat, and that you do that in the winter, you do that in the spring, fall, summer. You know,
you're like acting like this pullover and khakis are just easy to pick out.
that's all season round. Mary, am I incorrect in being like trying to? It's challenging.
Yeah, you don't know what to take out, the spring stuff, the fall stuff.
I'm wearing a sweater today because it's, you know, it's cold but not cold but wet. And then it was like, do I put boots on?
You can't really wear white yet.
I know.
You're not supposed to anyway.
Yeah, so Mary understands.
It's very tough.
It's a fallacy you guys have put on the rest of the world.
I usually have like four pairs of shoes lined up, you know, in my bathroom.
Ready to go. Right, because
sure
we pick out our outfits the night before.
Yeah. And this morning was raining, so.
I know I'm going to get blowback for this, but it feels like you're making it harder than it really is.
No. You think?
No, you just don't know.
Who's a president?
Lady loser.
The president's calling.
President.
Lady loser.
That's the ring.
Lady loser.
All right, here we go. Good morning, Mr. President. Well, it looks like just another slow news day in Washington.
Good morning, Cochran, and good morning to all the whiny women with other fashion problems.
Listen,
wow.
let's start outside Washington, if you don't mind. Did you see that Kentucky Derby? What'd you think of that?
You know, look, I will tell you, Maximum Security got totally robbed. Totally robbed. And your sports intern, Mark, will back me up on this. Country House is a second-rate wannabe.
Really?
And the Derby judge who disqualified Maximum Security is such a sanctimonious jerk, which, by the way, that's the name of the horse I had my money on, sanctimonious jerk.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Came in ninth,
uh-huh,
I think.
Sure, yeah.
But that's besides the point. You know, I've invited Maximum Security because I believe in him so much. He's going to be honored at the White House. And he can have all the Big Macs he wants to eat. But let's make sure we have a shovel at the ready afterward. You got that, Mike Pence? Shovel?
Yes, my liege. It won't be the first time I've handled crap in the White House, sir.
What was that?
Nothing.
Listen, yeah. You don't mind if we move on. The New York Times said, and this is this could not have been a good day for you yesterday, that you lost $1.2 billion over a 10-year period between 1985 and 1995. You were the number one biggest losing individual taxpayer in America.
No. Excuse me. This is a fake news hit job, okay? First off, I can't even remember what happened 30 years ago. I mean, that's ancient history.
Right.
I mean, frankly, it was so long ago, Bernie Sanders was still vacationing in the Soviet Union. Look, I didn't lose $1 billion. The American taxpayer did. I'm doing just fine.
Well, you know what? I can't say you're wrong. You've said the Mueller investigation took 2 years of your presidency?
2 years. Stolen.
How do you spell stolen, by the way? You know,
if you add that to the year I lost in the sand trap at my golf club at Mar-a-Lago, you got to see it sometime, Cock. The whole first term needs a do-over.
Really?
It really does.
Okay.
Seriously, just think of all the stuff I could have got done without the distraction of this Russia investigation. No collusion. Look, I could extend all the yellow traffic lights in America by 3 or 4 seconds.
Yep.
At the movies, I'd cut the previews of coming attractions in half, because seriously, you run out of popcorn before the movie even starts, am I right?
He's right.
And I could reduce the menu at the Cheesecake Factory by at least a dozen pages. Seriously, 28 different kinds of burgers is a little overkill. I mean, even for me, and I love burgers.
Mr. President, Democrats are saying you're just stalling, you're stonewalling, you're blocking information from being released to Congress. Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, who we've known forever, says this is a constitutional crisis.
The only crisis I see is Congressman Nadler's posture. Have you seen him? This guy looks like a bag of scrambled eggs with a human head plopped on.
Wow.
I mean, in all fairness, I mean, Nadler's thrown so many subpoenas at me, his arm is sorer than the entire White Sox starting rotation. I mean, he may have to go in for Tommy John surgery.
Sir, the Senate Intel Committee now, kind of surprised yesterday, subpoena Junior, your boy. You're wondering what's that all about, I assume, huh?
No. Everybody needs to lay the hell off of Donnie, okay? He's got enough problems being my third favorite kid, okay?
Well, he moved down. Listen, one more thing. Joe Biden, he's recently asked if he had a nickname for you, and he said, so many nicknames I'm inclined to give this guy. Why don't you start with Clown?
Oh, how creative. Good one, Joe. Wow, Biden is such a gigantic loser. He doesn't even know how to come up with an original nickname. Now, if he were a Native American like Elizabeth Warren, I'd call him Dances with Back Rubs. But I've got an even better one. How do you like this one?
All right, go ahead.
Grandpa Hugs and Plugs. Grandpa Hugs and Plugs. So perfect, right?
Hard, you know,
it's like a creepy children's TV show host.
Mother's Day is Sunday. How will the first family be celebrating?
We celebrate the same way every year, Cochran. Baron fixes Melania a very nice breakfast in bed. You know, and since she's a former supermodel, by breakfast I mean a bottle of Slim Fast and a Marlboro Light cigarette. It's really touching. He's such a thoughtful boy.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice, sir.
And later in the day, you know, we celebrate with the other moms in the family, you know, because we have a lot of moms. Along with Melania, we have Donnie and Ivanka's mother, Ivana, Ivanka herself, and then there's Eric's wife. And Eric's mother, we don't talk a lot about, who was a dancer at a go-go bar in Teaneck, New Jersey.
Right. Well, happy Mother's Day, sir.
Oh, and could I also wish a happy Mother's Day to the newest mom, Meghan Markle, along with Prince Harry. You saw that picture, the new bundle of joy?
Sure.
What's his name? It's long. Archie Harrison Mouth Breather Windsor Knot. At any rate, Melania and I sent them a huge Target gift certificate. They got Target in Windsor, right? Target in Windsor, England.
I can check, sir.
You know, with the fancy shopping cart escalator in there. I'm sure it's a tremendous store.
Mr. President, I have to run. Thank you for calling.
Later, loser.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP. is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
First, a texter writes, shoes are a nightmare. It's too warm for boots, but too wet for sandals. Funny how guys don't get it. But if all women wore burlap sacks and old lady shoes, they'd get it then, wouldn't they?
That's right.
That's why he knows. Four shoes
lined
up.
That's why you got them lined up, Mayor.
Yep, yep. Wasn't sure what to do.
Eric Edelstein, do you notice shoes? Do you notice women's shoes?
I'm going to, on the advice of counsel, decline to answer that.
Probably smart. Probably smart. I honestly, it's stiletto heels. Of course, I would notice stiletto heels on a guy, too.
Yeah.
You know, something that just sort of stands out.
Yeah, that would stand out.
Yeah. More of Eric in a second. Our most valuable person on the planet, Dr. Mary Joyce Gomez, Southside Dental Clinic, serving Chicago's most vulnerable patients. We had spoken to someone, I think, from this clinic.
I think
clinic.
We actually talked to her early in January.
Was that right?
Yes.
But it's time for an update.
Yes.
And
it's very important work she's doing.
Good morning, Dr. Gomez.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning to you all. Good morning to all our listeners.
And the important thing that people need to know is everybody needs to take care of their mouth, and some people need a little bit of extra care and concern, and you guys are trying to help.
Yes, yes. And that's why I am so proud to be part of the St. Bernard Hospital Dental Center, because, first of all, I'd like to share that we moved to a state-of-the-art, wonderful dental center over here in our campus, and it's super nice. We got additional chairs for our patients, more patients we can help and see. Now, the thing that I'm excited about to share is our growing care for the special needs in our community.
Okay.
And, yeah, the special needs kids and special needs adults. And these are all kinds of special needs patients, from the mentally challenged, physically disabled patients, and emotionally anxious patients who really defer or cannot avail of dental services because of these limitations. And we are proud to be here to be able to serve them. And
well, it's a big deal, too, because this is a state-of-the-art outpatient facility in the Inglewood community. And it's,
yes.
You know, development there is a big deal.
Yes, yes. And it's really great. We just have like guests, you know, funders looking to see our facility, and they're like, wow, this is a gem in this area, and nobody knows about it. So we really want to share it and let everybody know that we are here, and it's a wonderful place to visit and go.
And we salute the administrators at St. Bernard for being smart enough and forward-thinking enough and good enough to get this done.
Yes.
And now it's, 12th year as well.
Yes. And, Steve, I would also like to share that we want listeners to know that 99% of our patients are public aid and Medicaid patients. Mm-hmm. So you might ask in your mind, like, how can you fund this program? It's growing and we're reaching more people, and to think that only 40% reimbursement is what we get from these insurances. And it's very hard for these patients to find even general dentists that would accept this insurance.
Sure.
Yes. And even, you know, it would be so much harder to find a specialist. And here at our dental center, we have an oral surgeon, a specialist, a pediatric dentist specialist, and we have hospital dentists that specialize in treating patients with special needs and medically compromised patients. So this is really important to let everybody know that we are here and we can serve these people.
Right. Now, is this going on all over the state, or is this incredibly unique?
There are a number of this program, but we are, I think, the biggest, most.
And you draw from all over the city, right?
Oh, not only, yes, we have patients all over the city, but we have patients all over from the state of Illinois, some from Indiana, Wisconsin, and even Missouri. They come all the way.
That's good.
From there to here, yes.
Yes. We salute you for the work you do every day. It's vitally important, and not to be crass, but this is one of those you can pay me now or you can pay me later situations, because if these kids aren't given help to take care of their oral health now, they're going to have greater medical issues later.
Yeah.
And aside from the obvious thing that that's unfair and awful,
yes,
it's a financial issue as well.
Yes, yes. And Steve, I would just like to share with your listeners that if they have, or if they know people that would need this special care, just to call us and we'll be able to help them out. And plus,
it's a stupid thing to put up there, but I've no idea.
Hold that thought. We don't know what's on the air right now. And now it's off the air. I apologize for that. So what's the phone number?
Oh, it's 773-962-3976.
Give it to me one more time.
773-962-3976.
You're a wonderful person, and my best to you and your entire staff and everybody at St. Bernard.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve, for the time.
The most valuable person on the planet. Here's someone less valuable, but really quite valuable in his own right, Eric Adelson.
Wow, well, that's an intro.
Well, I mean, come on. You would have told me the same thing.
I would have,
yeah,
for sure.
Of course,
for sure. She's
How
doing great work, by the way. Great work.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Just got back from D.C.
Why were you there? Lose a bet?
I did. Lost the bet. Just had a series of meetings. Saw a bunch of members of the House Democratic Caucus, who you are so fond of right now.
Actually, the House Democratic Caucus, I'm okay with. They're trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Senate Democrats maybe need to try a little harder. But we've got a Republican in the Senate who is now trying to kickstart a little trouble for Junior.
Yeah.
I'm just asking Congress to do what they're constitutionally obligated to do.
Well, I will say this. I know it's not everything you want, but talking to a few of these members, it seems to be no question there will be a contempt vote and a pretty rock-solid message sent to Barr. Obviously, it came out of the committee yesterday, but I think next week they'll have that vote.
Yeah, it goes to the full House.
And it goes to the full House, and I think they will vote it. And, you know, look, I think, I don't know how much time we have for a break, but I would like to turn your anger, and I know those listeners are concerned about you losing hair.
I probably won't even see you at the meeting if this continues.
I know, exactly. but, you know, I've been conflicted, as you know, on what they should do on articles of impeachment. And I do think it's really the Republicans that are showing the lack of profile and courage. Because,
well, I agree, but I want to pick up this point after the break that I yammered on about before and just get your take on this, because it's important to me to hear your view on this. You can't say separate from politics, because politics has to play a role in this, because it just does. That's the reality of the situation. But I believe this country needs a hero, Eric, and it's time. It's you. We'll come back to the headlines in just a second on 720 WGN. It's the Eric Adelson love theme. You never told us, was your mom impressed?
Oh, she was just over the moon.
Because you actually got your own theme finally.
Yeah, verklempt. She was verklempt.
Yeah, well, they should see a doctor as soon as possible.
They have ointment for that now.
Yeah. All right, explain to everybody what your company is.
AL Media.
Now, what do you do there?
We do electoral campaigns around the country for Democratic candidates.
All right, and we talked about this off the air, but it's way too early for commitment to a particular candidate, if in fact you even do one.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one who thinks that having all these Democratic candidates running for president is bad for the party. I think primaries do work, and you end up with a strong nominee. I think when we've done that in the past, we tend to win those elections. When we try to anoint someone, we don't. So we'll see how this process plays out.
Speaking of your mom, as I did a moment ago, the text question of the day today for Mother's Day is the best or worst advice you ever got from your mom.
Best advice I ever got from my mom was right before college. She said, "We're paying a lot of money for this. I want you to go have fun. I want you to learn things, but do one thing. Go to class. Get your value out of going to college." And I'll never forget that advice, because she was saying...
And plus, when she led with "have a good time."
Yeah, she was like, "Enjoy yourself, learn things, try things, but go to class."
That's very, very good.
Great advice.
How'd you do?
I didn't go to class. No, I did. I did. And you know, it was funny. You go to school and you see all these kids who are kind of ditching and trying to get by and blowing things off forever. And you're kind of like, what's the point? Like, you,
right.
You know, you're this one period of your life, you're exposed to some of the greatest minds in the world.
That's a great piece of advice.
Who are seeing things in a way that are different than you'll ever see them again. Yeah. Take advantage of it.
No, that's a really good piece of advice.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm not going to ask about the worst piece of advice because I want to end on that positive. 312-981-7200 texters, best or worst advice you ever got from your mom. All right, Eric Edelstein's here, and as one of the most powerful Democrats in America, says so recognized by multiple publications. I think you heard my rant earlier this morning.
I did, yeah. Something about a rat, something.
America.
Rat anatomy or something.
America needs a hero.
Yeah.
And I believe the Democratic Party is blowing it because sitting around talking about, well, it's a little early for impeachment. We don't know if we want to censure. We don't know about a subpoena. Granted, a few things have moved forward, but the 60% of the country who believes Trump is nothing but trouble and demeaning the presidency and hurting the country is looking for somebody to do something. And frankly, I believe the majority of that 60% doesn't care that the Senate will block it. You then have a story to run on. Here's the politics part of this. But you can go, we did everything we could because this is what we're supposed to do because congressional oversight is not optional.
Right. Here's the counter argument to that. If the ultimate goal is to reduce a criminal president, a clown who shouldn't be president, and you take action that will be purely partisan because there are no profiles in courage on the Republican side, and impeachment simply becomes portrayed, which it will be, as a partisan weapon, not based on facts or objectivity. I'm just saying what it will be portrayed as.
Right. Because there are plenty of facts.
You potentially give Trump exactly what he wants, which is an issue to run on in the re-election, and you possibly end up with the nightmare scenario of, by acting strictly on your constitutional responsibility without regard to politics, which you can't do, you've re-elected the president. That's the nightmare scenario.
Okay, here's the counter to the counter. If you don't act,
yes,
knowing that the 40% base that Trump has is going to be there, they're not going anywhere, they haven't grown, they haven't really sank that far. So that 40% is going to be there either way. So it's the echo chamber. So when they start talking about this is what the Democrats do, they're making it partisan. Right. This is what they do. I'm talking about appealing to the middle and getting them off the couch and getting them to go vote.
Yeah. See, I think there's a middle ground here, and I this isn't the counter to the counter of your counter, but I do think that
Imp him, not impeach him, just imp him.
No, but yes, in a sense, that is the strategy because the strategy is we could impeach you, but we don't think impeachment should only be done with Democrats. We're calling on Republicans to join us. As soon as they join us, we'll do it. If they don't, they're complicit in the crimes of this president. They are complicit in enabling a criminal presidency, in enabling this chaos to continue. They've sold their soul to this. Because here's the other problem is if you bring impeachment purely on partisan grounds, we are going to be in a cycle where whoever controls, if there's a difference between the House and the presidency, the president's always going to get impeached.
But wasn't impeachment in 1974 partisan until the last month prior to his resignation?
Well, I don't know exactly the timetable, but there's no question it doesn't work if you didn't have the profiles and courage of Howard Baker and, you know, Peter Rodino and some of these other.
I'm pretty sure they didn't stand up till July.
Okay, that's possible. But I think we're in a different moment right now, and unfortunately, separating impeachment from the political reality of where we're in is impossible.
What you brought up is a very logical, sensible way to go about it. What are the chances that anybody in Washington of either party is logical or sensible?
Well, it is a moment of having
you were just
the
there.
Country losing its mind. Look, I've gone there for 25 years, and I go there a lot. There is a pall over that city, and it is depressing. And there's just a sense.
Well, that's interesting because nobody talks about that. So morale, I mean, the industry of that town is politics.
And look, it's not a partisan thing. I spent lots of time there when Bush was president. You know, it's not that. It's just there's a difference, and there's a, I don't know, like, I don't mean to sound grandiose or morose, but there's a sense of, like, decline of republic, like that we're in like the end
that's
stages.
That's why this matters.
End stages
that's
of something.
That's why this matters.
That there's not a grandeur to the place, because there's just a mood and a toxicity that I don't ever remember existing. And look, in 2005, 2006, we're at a false war, and the anger on the right and the left against Bush was palpable, but there wasn't a sense of like criminal presidency and something's illegitimate and shouldn't be there. That's how it feels today.
The folks that you know on the Republican side, because you have many friends who are Republicans, when they talk to you off the record,
oh God,
are they willing to admit the problem is there?
Yeah, they can't stand this president, but they're also scared to death of him because of the rise of, you know, these right wing primaries. And
when you look at a guy like McConnell,
yeah,
or Nancy Pelosi on the other side, I understand. We all want to be relevant. And we all believe we contribute at a certain level, especially if you're a public person. You might have an outsized ego. Lord knows I do. And you want to be able to be on stage to have your moment to have your say. At what point do you cross over to it is strictly about you and you've completely lost sight of the job you were brought here to do?
See, I mean, again, I know I'm going to sound like a partisan Democrat. The more time goes on, the more respect I have for Pelosi and the less I have for McConnell. I think McConnell is a purely political animal. He has no principle. He has no character.
He's done tremendous damage in the last 2 years in particular.
Huge damage to the country. I think Pelosi is someone who stands for something, and I think she's withstood the slings and arrows of, you know, billions of dollars literally spent using her name. She's been vilified by so many ways, and she's a history maker. I mean, she's first female speaker of the Congress. That is not an easy thing to do, and I think she stands for something.
What happened
McConnell
to Chuck
doesn't.
Schumer? Schumer's disappeared.
Yeah, it is a little weird, isn't it? You know, I know he's working hard on trying to recruit candidates and have some.
Sorry, Chuck. We need you to step up and talk more. And by we, I mean the collective we.
But really, I mean, Nancy Pelosi is particularly while you have 20 candidates running for president, she is the national face of the Democratic Party and standing up to Trump. So, you know, somebody asked
but
me.
Is it possible they have some sort of arrangement where Chuck and Pelosi get together and Pelosi and Chuck agree that she's going to speak for Congress?
It's possible. I don't know. I mean, I'm not privy to that.
I mean, does that make sense on any level? I don't know. I'm asking.
In a certain way. I mean, I think she's sort of a better front person for it, frankly, than he is.
Okay. Texter Sherry Bustos spoke at City Club. She said her Democratic congressional compatriots tell her that the Mueller report never comes up at town halls. I don't care.
Right.
You know, again, this is a representative democracy. You hire people to represent you for the greater interest of the country. Whether you care or don't care about what's being talked about doesn't mean it's not important.
That's right.
And sometimes decisions have to be made that you may go, well, why are you talking about that?
Right.
Because it has to be talked about.
Right. But again, this is what's scary about the decline of political journalism in this country, because the White House has been able to frame this as a purely partisan, you know, Mueller, the least partisan guy maybe in the history of civil servants,
right,
as a partisan witch hunt. They allowed Barr to go out there and basically, you know, spin this thing twice before it was really released. And so now you've sort of tainted the public in a way that they just think, oh, this is just part of the partisan game. And it's not. It's, as you say, Steve, this is very, very serious stuff. And we have a criminal presidency. I don't think there's any question about that.
Back with Eric Adelstein for a couple of minutes before we run out of time here. And Eric, in Springfield, we've got three major issues that everybody seems to be talking about: weed, the budget, and gambling.
Yeah.
Any early assessment on Pritzker?
I mean, it's been a calm session. I mean, obviously nothing happens till usually the last couple of weeks, which is what we're heading into right now. I think it's going to be a fascinating test, and it'll set the tone for the rest of his first term. If he can get something done, get some buy-in from Republicans, not necessarily on the progressive tax, but on some of these other deals, you know, I think you could have a successful first term governor.
What about gambling and weed?
I don't know. The cannabis thing, I was under the impression it was not going to happen before the end of session, but I'm Pat's much more got his finger on that pulse. I think the gambling expansion will happen. It seems to me it's moving that way.
And when you gamble, what do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah, because I won $659 on the long shot at the Derby.
You did?
It's Thursday, and Steve is still talking about his winnings.
Congratulations.
From the Kentucky Derby.
I'm just mad I didn't bet more.
I thought it was awesome. $689, Steve.
$659.
Oh, $659. My bad.
For some reason, Eric, he spent bet $20 on every other horse and only $10 on the long shot.
Because I thought Country House sounded like some version of a Denny's.
Wait, you bet every horse?
I bet like 4 or 5 long shots.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you're looking at me like I'm a hack.
No. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out.
What are you, Mr. Gambler?
I'm trying to figure out your strategy.
Gambler?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out your.
You know what my strategy is?
You know math?
You know what my strategy is? It's 30 minutes before post time. This might be fun.
Great strategy.
That's
a lot of people
strategy.
Say bet the long shot. They say bet the long
yeah,
shot,
bet the
Steve.
Long shot.
Eric Gadelstein. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
See you later. Synthetic identity theft occurs when criminals create identities instead of stealing ones that already exist. Here's the situation. Pieces of your information combined with fake numbers and other information. Real birth dates combined with fake birth dates. It all comes down to one thing. Your identity can be stolen in full or in piecemeal fashion. And when it happens, you're going to need LifeLock to help you get out of it. I mean, these guys are good. These cyber creeps, cyber criminals are good. And while nobody can protect all of us against every identity theft and every identity criminal that's out there or monitor transactions in all businesses 24/7, we know that LifeLock's going to catch stuff you don't normally see. And LifeLock with Norton Security is better than they've ever been and better than anybody else. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code LifeLock. You get 10% off your first year. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com. Use the promo code LifeLock. All right, we're coming back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah. Come on, Mark, sing along.
What you should, yeah.
Everybody. Tell me, Greg, you don't sing in your car, even though you don't know the words.
No, I do, Steve. I'm not acting like anything.
Dean Richards is on the road. I don't know if he's playing the role of Anna Balaval, but he's somewhere on the phone. Good morning, Dean.
I am accompanying Anna Balaval today.
Well, what are you doing?
She's here. We are having a morning show sleepover party, Steve. As you probably know today, see, that proves it right there.
Was that Anna Balaval or a schnauzer in a trap?
No, that he said, was that Anna or a schnauzer in a trap? Oh, Courtney Hall's here. Anna's here. A lot of the producers, and everyone's in their pajamas. And we're having a morning show sleepover party. What? And I'm making breakfast.
Okay, wait. You slept over last night, or you pretended to sleep over, and that's why you're wearing pajamas?
Well, I would say that most of us pretended to sleep over.
Okay.
But, right. Dean, whose house are you at?
We're at our friend Jane's house, Jane Hayden, who has a beautiful lakefront condo overlooking the Drake Hotel. It's right on North Lakeshore Drive. It's a beautiful, beautiful condo. And this would be a fun place to do it.
Let me take you backstage on this. Here's what happened. So for you listeners, they came up with this idea, which is a really good idea, and they thought it'd be great. And there were a bunch of really good entries from the suburbs. And then the tech people at Channel 9 and some of the talent went, isn't there someplace downtown we can go that'd be closer? Yeah. That's kind of the way this went down. All right, back to Dean.
That was part of the equation here, yes.
Dean, we need to know what kind of jammies you're wearing and what you're cooking, and did you bring a sleeping bag?
Well, I'm the only one that's not wearing jammies because I'm cooking. And I'm cooking. I'm around the stove. I didn't want any burn potential for anything.
Sure.
So I've got aprons and full protective, covering. But Anna and Courtney both are in beautiful pajamas and curlers. Everyone's just been crashed out on couches and things like that here. But let me tell you what I'm making and what I will have throughout the morning. We started off with delicious mimosas. Mm-hmm. Not just traditional mimosas, but yesterday I took some pomegranate juice, poured them into ice cube trays, and froze. Now I have pomegranate ice cubes that we put into the traditional mimosas of orange juice and champagne.
See, this is like I've told Sandberg she needs to open a bakery and just do her super thin chocolate chip cookies. You just need to open a restaurant and do all the cooking you love to do.
Yeah, we have chocolate-covered strawberries here this morning. I did not make those. But I am making avocado toast, avocados from Mexico with delicious multi-grain bread, homemade crushed avocados, a over-easy egg on top of that, and some bacon.
Yum. Dean,
did you not know this?
This is a good spread.
He's a gourmet.
I mean this really is good. I would need a little shake of crushed red pepper on top of that, and I'd be good to go.
Yeah, that's what I fresh ground pepper, salt and pepper goes on top of it all, and it's perfect. That's for the first course.
I remember when Dean used to cook for me like this.
Wait, that's the first course.
Rhino.
Yeah. Second course, I'm making breakfast spaghetti. It's whole wheat spaghetti with sauteed vegetables, green peppers, red peppers, onions, portobello mushrooms, all mixed together. Into that goes scrambled eggs, goat cheese, and fresh basil.
Oh, wow. I've never even heard something like that. That sounds delicious.
And then?
It's absolutely delicious. And then, to wind things up this morning, I'm going to make an eggnog French toast.
It's
Kava bread. We're using Kava bread, and we've soaked it in eggnog, cinnamon, nutmeg. There's chopped walnuts in it, and it's in the oven baking right now. It's gonna come out like a nice crusty casserole, kind of like a bread pudding, and that's gonna be a little bit later on.
Wow!
And while that's going on, is there any entertainment news we should discuss when we come back?
Oh yeah. I'm also, just because I'm cooking doesn't mean I'm not doing the entertainment reports. Billy Bush is going to be back on TV.
Wow! Well, we'll get to that. Give me another tease.
We've got Billy Bush and we've got Tyra Banks. First time in
did you see the picture?
Years.
Oh my God, it's so
back on the,
she
back on the
looks
cover of Sports Illustrated. Yeah.
I saw the picture. She looks unbelievable.
And the sweetest thing.
How old is she? 46?
45, I think. She said she never thought that this would happen, and so like she's so touched by it. It's really cool.
Well, I mean, our marriage didn't last, Tyra and I, but it's not that I don't wish her well, and I couldn't be more proud of her in this new chapter of her life. And I'm wondering if I could have the negatives, but that's really just me. That's me. All right, Dean, we'll come back. In the meantime,
I remember,
say hi.
Right, that's where the restraining order came in, if I remember
correctly.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
The Channel 9 Morning Show, at least in part, is live at a listener, or I should say a viewer's home. Does the viewer know you're at their house?
No, it's a co-worker. It's a co-worker, Dean Hayden, who also works, who's been a longtime WGN staffer at this beautiful condo, and opened it up to us to have our sleepover party here today. And the sun, as you're probably also seeing from your window, the fog and the mist is burning off. And it's becoming a beautiful morning. Oh, there's games going on. There's like sleepover games that are going on.
Pillow fight?
That was Anna.
Twister?
Was it a twister? Was it a pillow fight? What's going on?
We were playing a game, light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. We're playing pretty much all seance games.
All right. The royal baby has a name. I believe the name is Archie. Do you like it?
I like the name Archie. I think it's a cool name. I can't wait till he gets older and marries somebody named Edith and has a daughter named Gloria and son-in-law named Meathead.
It's funny you say that. Do we have Archie's first words? Let me know when we have that, because we believe we found Archie's first words said yesterday when the media kept bugging him. All right. What else is happening in show business?
Billy Bush, who was, of course, part of that famous Donald Trump tape of, the tape that was...
the pee-grabbing tape.
Yeah, the made on the bus. He got fired and lost his job from the Today Show and has really been off the air for the last 2 years or so, plus. He is going to be back on the air on a new syndicated entertainment show that's called Extra Extra. I don't know where you'd be able to see the show, but...
there's the entertainment show Extra, so this is
and
more than
song,
Extra?
Hang on, Extra song goes, Extra, Extra.
So, I guess so. I guess that's what the deal is.
Is he the host of Extra?
Yeah, I know. My life has been empty with the absence of Billy Bush in it for the last several years. So,
well, I got to be honest with you. I felt badly for him. He was an idiot guy in an awkward position, not knowing tape was rolling or the mics were open. And it led, in no small part, to his marriage ending. Right. And his career ending, and you know, Trump's the president of the United States, so try to make sense of that.
I think that's what really kind of surprised everybody, is that he lost everything, and the other person who was a vital part of that tape became the leader of the free world. So it's been an interesting development with that.
All right, what else is happening?
Tyra Banks, who was, you know, one of the world's great supermodels of all time, parlayed that into an amazing television career, hosting her own talk show.
Quite and the mogul.
Her modeling reality show. You know that she is a professor at Stanford University
Also? I did know that, yeah.
Yeah, she is really quite the brilliant businesswoman. And
yeah, I mean, I don't want you to think we don't stay in touch. I mean, she still calls.
Well, it's nice that you were able to remain friends after your split up.
Yeah.
She is back on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. She was the first African-American woman to appear on the cover of the magazine. She's appeared on it three times over the last 20 years. She's back on it now, as Mary said a couple of minutes ago. She's 45 years old now. She says she's 25 pounds heavier. That's not my commentary. That's her saying that. And she said the reason that she wanted to do it was to show other women that you can accomplish anything. Don't let things like age or appearance or anything else get in your way. If you want to do something, go ahead on and do it.
Okay, I just want to add this. The 25 pounds is very well distributed, if in fact that's the number. And it's great that she's saying that. It's a very positive thing. But it's not exactly a fair fight if she's comparing herself to every other woman.
Well, the thing that's cool about her, though, I will say, because like they've had some older people, you know, come back. Like Christie Brinkley looks amazing, and she's been on there. But Christie Brinkley kills herself to not look her age, you know?
Yeah.
And Tyra, she did not, when I saw a longer piece where she didn't go to the gym and kill herself to try to lose weight to be doing the cover. Like, this is 45-year-old Tyra as is.
She lost some weight.
I think she looks, well...
She looks unbelievable.
But she doesn't look like, you know, she hasn't eaten, and it just, she...
Right.
Yeah, she...
I just think it's important, and when we talk about positive body image, that we recognize that the 99.9% of the women in the world don't have time for a full-time trainer 5 days a week, 5 hours a day, you know, which is not an exaggeration of how long these workouts go.
Oh, yeah. I just think she looks more regular, though, than... than some of them.
That, well distributed.
Yeah, I mean, genetics plays a role.
A lot of women have said also that they take a lot of inspiration from her, and she's given opportunities to people who are plus-sized women who are, you know, not the typical Barbie doll kind of look.
Like
she's given inspiration that other, no matter how you look, no matter what your people have told you about yourself, if you want to do it, you can accomplish it.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. You know, the one thing Trump said that I agree with in his lifetime, and there's a quote from many years ago, he said, we all get the same 24 hours a day. It just depends on what you do with it. See, and people say I can't say positive things about Trump.
There you go.
Is there a crime being committed behind you right now, Dean? It got very loud.
They did you very loud in here for some reason. You know, the mimosas are flowing freely here, Steve, so
okay.
I'm going to step out on the balcony where it might be a little quieter out here.
City of Chicago on Michigan Avenue, and the balcony is quieter than the inside.
Yeah, we're right on Lakeshore Drive, right by the Drake Hotel.
Do you want to give us a traffic report while you're out there?
How's it look, Dean?
It's really crowded, and I see flashing police lights and maybe even a couple of fire trucks. Probably would be about Oak Street on Lakeshore Drive, I'm guessing, right? You know, where Lakeshore Drive turns.
And Mary Vanderbilt, this is how traffic used to be done not that long ago. You guys would be at the top of the Hancock looking out the window.
That's right. And we do have an accident there northbound at the Oak Street Beach Curve. So thanks.
Yeah, that's exactly where it is. Yep.
Way to battle for your territory, Mary.
What lane you got blocked? Can't see that.
It looks like traffic is going through. I'm going to say it looks like it's going through on the left side of the lanes, but most of the, all but one lane is blocked going northbound on Lakeshore Drive right there.
One last note, Howard Stern.
There are people. There's people jogging on Lakeshore Drive.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
But you mean on the drive itself in front of the cars?
No. They're in the jogging path.
Oh, yeah, and you're thinking, what are you doing?
Why would you want to do that?
Right, I don't know.
There's perfectly good cars you could drive in. Why would you want to run?
One last note. Howard Stern, our radio brother,
yeah.
Except for the fact that he made $90 million last year. Howard Stern has a new book coming out where he reveals that he had a cancer scare in 2017 that, after surgery, turned out to be nothing, and he feels very lucky. So,
yeah, that's a pretty terrifying thing when you think that's happened. And
well, you've gone through it.
For all of the boldness of Howard Stern, you know, he said it did kind of ground him back in reality again and realize what's important and what's not, and what he may have said and done through the years may not have been some of the smartest things. So, as is the case when a lot of people get cancer scares or cancer news, was a big old reality check for him.
Yeah, and listen, I don't know Howard well, but I certainly know him, and off the air, he couldn't be a nicer guy. He's giant. He looks like a psychotic Big Bird, if you know, see him on the street.
Yep.
All right, Dean, listen, fine job by you. Please give Anna Balaval a hug from us.
I will do that. I have to get back to the kitchen now.
All right, get back there, do some cooking. That's Dean live in front of the kitchen, or in the kitchen, or wherever he is. By the way, we do have the first words of Baby Archie. Have you heard him? This is yesterday, paparazzi in his face. Baby?
Meathead.
See, there you go. That's it. That's the first words of Baby Archie yesterday.
Deep voice.
Yeah. Well, I thought so, too. Let's get to your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Meathead. 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 Meathead.
Meathead. Meathead. Meathead.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Mark Carmen's here for Dave. I know we were just talking about science a second ago, and I wanted to make sure no more of the show goes by without mentioning, before we get to our friend Ed Farmer, that we're thinking about Harry Tynowitz and his brothers and his family. His family. Harry's dad passed the other day. A real Chicago legend. I mean, a guy who, as the story goes, was a very successful real estate guy, but not the mega successful guy, who happens to be in an elevator with two guys who are in town, from the Sears Corporation, who are looking for the right place to put what would become the Sears Tower. He has options on a couple of lots that he's able to expand on Wacker, which turn into the footprint for the Sears Tower, which allows him to create a real estate empire, really, and also allows him to go off and do what I suppose was his first love, and that was he was always a horse guy, and he wanted to race horses and love the game. So, interesting guy. I only met him a couple times. Interesting guy, but we love Harry.
We love Harry, and it was a nice tribute for the Shiva for his dad yesterday, Steve. And, there's been a lot of articles about Harry always talks about being around horses growing up, and that's something that most people don't get to do, right? I mean, your dad does not own horses and is racing at the Kentucky Derby. That's a unique thing right there.
No. I wanted a horse when I was a little kid. And I remember my dad was not this kind of guy, and I'm sure it was my mom. But I remember we went to look at horses once, and that was the end of the story.
That was it?
Just ended right there. I mean, well, there's no way you could afford a horse. I mean, forget about it. But my dad also at one point when our Cocker Spaniel disappeared told my brother and I that we should look for her because she probably just ran away, knowing full well that she had suffered from mange and he had her put to sleep the day before.
Wow.
Yeah.
It seems a little cruel.
Well, he wasn't, and the weird thing is he wasn't intending to be mean. He just was leaning against the Ford Galaxy smoking Pall Malls while my brother and I were going, Ginger! Ginger!
He didn't want to break it to his kids that Ginger was no longer.
Yeah.
These things happen.
Harry, we're thinking about you.
Absolutely.
8:46, we go to Ed Farmer now, and we'll talk a little Chicago White Sox. Good morning, Eddie.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're fine. Mark Carmen's here. I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, Carmen's one of my close friends through the broadcast, certainly, but we're going to go to Notre Dame also.
Did you hear that? Farmer's taking me to Notre Dame October the 12th, Steve.
Oh, that's real?
That's a
to
real
what? Try to get you into school?
Well, we're walking in with the band.
Yes,
we're
gonna... he's going to go to med school at Notre Dame, Steve.
Thanks, Ed.
Have you ever seen a football game at Notre Dame?
I have not. That's why Faramir wants to.
It's like a religious experience.
Yeah, he wants to right or wrong. So,
well, that's very kind of you.
We're going to walk with the band into the stadium or close to the band into the stadium. And he's going to get Notre Dame football. I've been going there since I was 4 years old or 5 years old. So.
And Ed Farmer is
seeing Brian Kelly too.
Ed Farmer is very modest, but he plays a mean oboe. A lot of people don't know that.
Yes, I shoot across the room.
All right, so talk to me about this White Sox team. It's been on a nice run. Well, you and I agreed in spring training, 500 would be delightful. I see, you know, some potential here that maybe we didn't see even in the springtime.
I think that's a valid point. There's no question about it. They played better. They play all nine innings. That's one thing we could say. And I say it all the time with Darren. They don't quit. They come back. They came back yesterday. What went unnoticed, and I'm sure I touched on it, was the way that Anderson ran the base from second home on a line drive to center. He got the great read, and Tilson, Charlie can fly, and Anderson was trying to catch him, and we tied the game at three, but lost it on Ramirez's home run. I know how the Red Sox felt last Thursday at our ballpark when Delmonico hit that game-winning home run in the bottom of the ninth inning because let the air out of a balloon that I thought we were going to come back and win yesterday.
Faramir, what do you think of all the attention around Timmy right now with the bat flip and him enjoying the game and the old rules and all that stuff? Of course, you remember those rules. You know those rules incredibly well.
Well, you know, I told him, I said, you know what? The guy hits you in your rear end. I have no problem with that. If he's throwing above the belt or drilling him in the chest, I've not got a problem with it. But he threw the bat, and I've seen worse. I've seen on the TV in the last 3 days. This guy hit a home run. He took the bat and almost launched it over his dugout. I mean, I don't know where it stops, but professionalism, there's a certain degree I don't want to lose. But I'm now moving towards things as far as everybody's doing this. I got on Lorenzo Cain a year ago. I went down and saw him. I said, you know what, when he ran by the dugout, I said something I shouldn't have said. I didn't say to hit you, but I said you'd be looking at the sky the next time you faced me. But those times are gone. I said I just want to apologize for saying that because I think Lorenzo with the Brewers is a terrific player. He was that with Kansas City. And everybody's doing it, so it's become commonplace. You know, I'm worried about launch angles and spin rates. And all of a sudden, some guy's launching it bad. Now I've got to put that into it. Equation as well. So, do I like it? No. Will I tolerate it? They are. So, yeah, I'm going to tolerate it.
You know, here's the thing. There's a lot of these unwritten rules of baseball. Which are the ones of the unwritten rules, other than what we just talked about, are the ones that should go away?
You know, I don't. If you want to talk to your friends on the other team, I think that's fine before the game. You know, you go batting practice. You're out there running your sprints. Whatever you're doing, one of the other teams on the field, you want to say hello to them. I don't have a problem with that. A problem when you get on first base or second base and your buddy's over there and you two are laughing and he might be down by two or three runs.
Great point.
I'm not a big guy on that. I'm an opponent of that. I'm going to play nine innings or whatever it takes. I'm going to play White Sox baseball. At the end of it, if you beat me, I'll shake your hand. But as I'm walking away, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to beat you the next time. I think that's what makes it a great sport.
Hey, Ed, I read a thing yesterday that Aaron Bummer said that he changed a few simple mental cues that helped him become a totally different pitcher, you know, and he's had some success since he got called up. From the mind of a pitcher, what is a mental cue you would change?
What I did, you know, to be very honest with you, I learned how to pitch in Baltimore. I've chronicled it many times. About George Bamberger became the manager of Milwaukee. He taught us all how to pitch there. But I didn't have control of the strike zone. I learned control of the strike zone. And I would stand on the mound, to be very honest with all the listeners. I stood on the mound with the White Sox, and I said, in my mind, he doesn't swing at this is strike one. And I got to be honest with you, I rarely got to strike three because they put the ball in play. So the other seven guys behind me want to play. I know the catcher's in play, and I'm in play. pretty good idea. We're going to put a defense on them that's going to catch the ball. Throw strikes. And Bieber did that last night. Shane Bieber for the Indians, the right-hander. Young pitcher. He was terrific with strike one. He didn't figure in the decision to give up that center field shot to score the two guys to tie the game at three. But he threw first pitch strikes. He left. He only threw 81 pitches. And he was terrific. I mean, he was really good yesterday. And so was our guy. I mean, this was a good game yesterday. Unfortunately, we lost. But strikes, strikes, and strikes. That's where it ends. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. If you want to pitch it on the corners, then you're going to learn that in time. But that's, you know, a lot of guys are afraid to throw a strike because they don't want the ball to be hit. I welcomed it to be hit.
That's what the other guys are for, as you just said. All right, Carm's exactly last word right with Ed Farmer.
Hey, Farmer, are you confident that Lucas Giolito's turned the corner here? His ERA's down just above four, which is a big-time improvement, but maybe you need to see more.
You know, he doesn't do anything to surprise me. As you know, Carm, I scouted him. He was my number one pick in 2012 when I turned him in at the White Sox. And we thought we would take someone better, but wisely, Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, they made the trade for him. I mean, the guys we got from Washington, it was a great trade. I mean, they've done a great job with getting talent. And Lucas doesn't throw 100 anymore. But I'll tell you what, the curveball isn't a work in progress anymore. It's a dynamic pitch. And his fastball has jumped to it. He's shortened his arm swing. That's one thing he's changed. No, he's throwing wild pitches, but not like he did last year. And he's not walking a lot of guys. He's changed the corner. He's turned that corner and changed lanes because he's throwing strikes now.
Mother's Day weekend. The text question today is best or worst advice your mom ever gave you. You got anything?
No, she gave me great advice. She told me one time, she goes, "Who's that?" And it was a girl that came to see me pitch. And she said, "I don't want to see you dating her." And I went, "Okay, fine." And I didn't. But, your mother, my mom anyway, told me all the right things. And you know what? She was right all the time. And I wasn't right, but yeah.
She had a little radar going on for the girl that went to see a pitch.
She had momar. That's what she had.
That's it. All right. Thank you, my friend. That's Ed Farmer, your Chicago White Sox. And, of course, every inning of White Sox baseball is here. What's the next game you're working, Carm?
I will be working on Saturday, Steve. White Sox and the Blue Jays. And we get White Sox Weekly on Sunday. Brian Noonan is going to join me.
Okay. It is. Was Noonan with the White Sox at some point?
He's a big Sox fan, Steve.
Oh, okay, good.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 8:58. Steve Cochran Show continues. Let's get mellow. Yeah.
All right, Steve. That's what I've been waiting for.
Little disc jockey flashback. Next hour, we'll get into more of this, but if you have great advice or bad advice your mom ever gave you, 312-981-7200, here's the big difference in the world. On Father's Day or Father's Day week when we do this question, tons of people line up to tell you the bad advice they got from your dad. Nobody tells you bad advice you got from your mom except for the occasional daughter. And so far this morning, all we've gotten, and by the way, it's fine.
Yeah.
But all we've gotten is positive advice that mom gave you. Does that mean mom's smarter, or does that mean people are afraid to say bad things about their mom?
Well,
maybe both.
When you're near Mother's Day, it doesn't seem like the time you should take her down, you know?
Well, these are anonymous.
Maybe on Father's Day, we should ask for bad advice your mom gave you.
Ah, switch
like
it
some
up.
Some distance from the holiday.
Switch it up.
Yeah. Or maybe good advice your mom gave you that you didn't take.
Do you have one of those?
Just with an old boyfriend.
What was the advice? Dump him?
Yeah. She basically said, you know, after he dumped me, I wanted to go and beg him for him back. And she's like, "No, don't do it. Don't do it." Well, of course, I went and I did it. And didn't
chained yourself.
Yep. Made a fool of myself.
Were you able to do that for your kids?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it worked, but, you know. Well, they're fine. They've had long-term relationship,
sure.
So they're in good shape.
I have to say, your kids seem as happy and as well balanced as they could be. So that's a testament to you and Steve.
See, I am happy sometimes.
No, your kids seem happy. Oh. You're still a wreck.
Thank you.
Anybody, Steve Grzanich, did you have any advice from your mom?
Faye gives good advice.
Oh,
I bet
there's so much stuff. I just
she tells you to wear blue.
Right,
you look blue on good on blue and
good
TV.
On blue.
Yep,
yeah.
That's and she's right. You do
right. I should smile more. Which
she's right about that
no,
too.
No, I don't think so.
okay.
Okay, Mary Jr.
No, there's just so much stuff. I mean, like, she's probably watching the TV feed right now, and she earlier this morning said I look tired, so.
Well, aww. That's a mom's job.
Yeah.
Any bad advice from anybody?
I'm trying to think. My mom told me I better not get pregnant in high school.
That's good advice.
I guess that's good advice.
It's actually very solid advice.
That was a strange left turn right there.
I think my parents got married very young and had me very young, and so her big fear was that that's what I would do. And
she loves your dad.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
she just feel like she missed out on her 20s?
They've been married
chasing a lot of guys.
They've been married for almost 44 years. And I would say they didn't like each other for at least 7 of those.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you.
I was too young to notice, but I know there was a 7-year hunk there.
I was 39 when my parents had... I was 39? My mother was 39. My father was 40 when I was adopted. At that point, they had been married 15 years. So consciously, 10 years later, they're married 25 years because I remember their 25th anniversary party. That, I believe, was the last time they spoke to each other, and they were married 45 years right up to the day my father died.
Yeah.
And at one point, they had you needed actually a Rosetta Stone language tape of how they communicated, because it was just, what would you like for dinner? And she knew what that was.
Yeah.
Or looks.
Yeah.
Looks always work.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Listen.
I was told to stand away from the microwave, Steve, and I stand by the microwave. Just want to get
so that's there. Good advice you didn't take.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. I got a bunch of texters from you guys as well. Keep them coming. 312-981-7200. Best or worst advice you ever got from your mom. One more break and we're back with the news. And hi to everybody on CLTV 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Shut up and let him sing. Okay. Best or worst advice your mom ever gave you for Mother's Day? That's a text question at 312-981-7200. 262 texter. Best advice my mom told me was go with God when leaving the house for the day and respect the girls because it's not easy being one.
Oh, that's good advice.
Well, there you go. 312-981-7200. Send yours in. We have some amazing athletes in studio, Sandberg. Amazing athletes, Mark Carman, joining us in studio now, including the Paralympic coach, head coach for wheelchair track at the University of Illinois, Adam Bleakney. Adam, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks so much for having us today.
Thanks for making the effort.
Thanks for
making the effort to get here and also finding the place.
Well, that's the big thing. Yeah, we dropped off our car with somebody across the street, so hopefully it's there when we're done. It was cheap, though. It was cheap. A couple bucks.
Yeah, the guy just said, I'll take care of it for you.
Yeah, you look trustworthy.
I'm sure you'll be fine.
Of course.
Jenna Fesmeyer?
Hey, yep.
Fesmeyer is here as well. Jenna's going to graduate this spring with a BS in Kinesiology and Communications. She has, amongst her many accomplishments, done the 2019 Illinois Half Marathon and won it. Two-time Columbus Marathon champ, 2017, 2018. Two-time LA Marathon runner-up. So far, it's like we're twins. When I read through this, you know, it's like we're the same person. And top 15 finishes in Chicago, New York City, and Boston. And also, Daniel, help me out with the last name, Daniel.
Romanchuk.
Daniel Romanchuk. Carms, did you take a look at the credits for Daniel?
Yeah, not bad here, Steve. I don't know about you, but I've never won the Chicago Marathon in 2018 and 20, and the New York City Marathon in 2018, and the Boston Marathon in 2019, and the London Marathon in 2019. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And Daniel, I guess I didn't realize, first American winner in the men's wheelchair division at Boston since forever, right?
Yep.
Going back to what, 93 or something?
Yep. 93.
It's all very impressive, and we're glad you guys are here. And, Coach, let's start with you. What makes you and your team so special? How do you get this done every day?
Well, you know, we have, as you've met these two young athletes, we have a great group of student athletes. We get folks from all over the country, West Coast, East Coast, South. Really, you pick a region. We have the best from that region who come to Champaign.
Are you part of the recruiting for that, Adam?
I am, yeah. We do quite a bit of recruiting throughout the year and a lot of outreach and connect with these potential student athletes in their home space. And so having that relationship, prior relationship, really is key, and that allows me to get the right people too. We need the right fit. We need good human beings first, right? And then we'll take care of the sport performance details second. So we have, and we have a long tradition of success with this program. It started long before I was around. We're actually the first collegiate program in the world to have opportunities for individuals that had that were wheelchair users.
You're kidding.
It started in 1948. Yeah,
is that right?
So,
that is crazy.
Amongst the many, many firsts that come right out of Champaign. So whether it's curb cuts. So if any of you use curb cuts this morning, we tested and validated the curb cuts right there on the campus.
So we were the pioneers in Illinois for curb cuts?
For a lot of different things. A lot of the best practices that are now federal law, those were developed right in Champaign.
Well, Adam, I hope you appreciate the fact with osteoarthritis in my knees, I use curb cuts every day.
We all do, and that's one of the value points is that it was built for a group of student athletes, but the impact's been global, and it just has become ubiquitous and such a normalized part of everybody's life that's the value, right? And so that's one of the things we take pride in is this global transformative impact that this program has. So that pulls and links in, as I said, the best and the brightest from across the country and across the world. We have athletes, international athletes from Korea. We've had from Australia, the UK.
I would think with the Asian influence at the U of I, it makes sense that you might even be recruiting there, I guess,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Jenna, let me ask you, obviously you're going to continue your life as a top-flight elite athlete, but what are you going to do professionally?
Yeah, so right now I work on campus as a resident advisor, and I love student affairs. I love making campus home for students, and I love being a resource to them as well. And so next year I'll be working as a hall director on campus, and I'll be making my way into student affairs, hopefully getting a master's in higher ed. So you
came to U of I and you love it. You're going to stay and work there. How many schools did you look at when you were checking out?
You know, I put all my eggs in one basket.
Is that right?
Yep. I only applied to Illinois. I visited, and I, you know, my parents and I, we fell in love with Champaign and with the program. And so, long story short, I said my prayers every night, and I ended up in Champaign. So
got that little piece of mail. That was probably a good day at the house, huh?
Yeah. Hey. Yep.
Yeah. You're in. And Daniel, you're at Parkland?
Yep.
And looking to transfer to U of I.
Yes.
With your athletic...
He's decked out in U of I clothes, just for those people who aren't viewing us right now.
Yeah, if you're not watching on CLTV. Now, you know, as a world-class athlete, such that you are, how much training is there that goes on in your life every day?
6 days a week, maybe two times a day. Pretty much just Sunday off.
Is that right?
Oh. Yep.
And we see wheelchair athletes in the marathons. If you come to watch the Chicago Marathon, which, by the way, not that I have a lot of experience in this, but I'm told, and I certainly agree, it's one of the great viewing marathons there is because there's so many places that are great viewing areas. But we see wheelchair athletes in the marathon, and we think, wow, amazing upper body strength. It takes a little more than that, doesn't it?
I mean, I just thank all of the support that I've had from my youth, I mean, up to now with Illinois.
What was the nature of your disability for people that are not watching on TV?
So I was born with spina bifida.
Okay. And we'd think, you know, I'm 58. When I was a kid, if you were told you had spina bifida, I don't even think in the 70s you would have had opportunities like kids have now, right?
It has a lot of... Things have just progressed so much. It's just incredible.
And, Coach, what do you do as far as making sure these kids are aerobically fit constantly? Is there swimming part of the program?
Yeah, we do a little bit. Jenna really likes swimming, so I'll let her do some swimming here and there. Some of the athletes they sink more than swim. So that's a negative. Liability, right?
That's a negative for the program. Sure.
I don't want to expose myself to too much risk. So that's fun. One of our more developed advanced athletes. He's good at every sport except swimming. So I always make a point to make him swim at least once or twice a year, to put him in his place. But we spend six days, as Daniel said. They train a lot. It's up to 20 hours a week, and on the big weeks, it's 300 miles a week. And so we spend a lot of time together. So I hope they like me. They may not all the time, but
we'll check out the comment cards
online.
Why don't
you do that? Yeah, we'll get. But it's a blend of being on the track, out on the road, and we do a little weight training in there too to complement some of the other things we're working on. But that's at a macro level, they just spend a lot of time in their chairs and develop and train hard, and that to me is the real beauty, is that
dedication,
that day to day, yeah, that
dedication,
the
discipline,
grind and the process to me is really what's critical. But I mean, all those accomplishments are outstanding, and what Jenna and Daniel's done really is incredible and outstanding. But for me, it's that day to day grind and rising up each day, meeting that challenge and having a goal and working toward that is the key to me. That's
God bless you guys.
That's what makes my job.
Inspires the rest of us.
Yeah, and me too.
Before we run out of time, let me get Sandberg and Carmen in here.
So I want you both to answer this. I'm going to start with Jenna. You know, we all as kids did a lot of activities and whatever. At what point did you know you were an elite athlete that was going to continue and do college sports?
Good question.
I wasn't... I didn't really have any exposure to adaptive sports growing up, and so my sophomore year was when I first was introduced to wheelchair racing. And at first, I really wasn't interested. I had played volleyball, basketball, and I threw discus for my high school track team, and so just adding one more sport seemed like a little bit too much. And so, I ended up falling in love with the sport, and it really didn't seem like... I never had this goal of being this elite athlete that we speak to. I have more of a goal of creating this holistic experience that Adam talks about, and just working on that day-to-day drive and determination and courage of showing up and, competing with the best in the world. And so,
right. Sure. But you are an elite athlete,
and
Daniel?
We're clear. Daniel?
So I didn't necessarily have any, specific moment that I wanted to take it, had dreams of going certain places. But I mean, I, from a young age, watching, older athletes, seeing where they've, what they've done, where they've gone, I just always kind of, just asked myself, I wonder if I can get there.
Challenge yourself.
Yep.
It's a great story, and probably a similar story to any athlete that gets to the highest level. Carm's last word.
Well, just to follow that up, I mean, how do you, you're seemingly at the top, where's the motivation continue to come from to try to stay there?
From a young age, I mean, I have always just, I've enjoyed challenging myself and just seeing how far can I push myself.
We kick his butt every day in practice, and that keeps him motivated.
And I think, Coach, you'll agree, that's the reason you had to cut me from the team, because I had no discipline.
Yeah. That's true. Too many late Saturday nights, early Sunday
mornings. That's it. Great to see you guys. Yeah. Another testament to what's going on at the University of Illinois. And good luck, Daniel. I like your chances.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had the guys from Your Grateful Nation in yesterday. It's a great organization. Rob O'Neill and Rob Carrilla. Talking about it. And Rob O'Neill, by the way, is the guy that took out Bin Laden. Podcast available for the full interview. Highly recommend you listen to it. Here's a clip from yesterday. Hello, boys.
My name is Rob Carrilla, and I was fortunate to actually be a Green Beret and get to know some of these great SEALs and other folks that fought in defense of the country. So I would like to introduce the actual hero here, which is not me, but
it's a friend, Rob. As opposed to these soft Green Berets, right?
Nothing but love for the Green Berets, obviously. And that's what we do at Your Grateful Nation, transitioning veterans to the private sector. So Rangers, Green Berets, Navy SEALs, who have the best hair? And
careful with the hair jokes. Man, I know you could kill me with your bare hands, but don't think I won't come over there if you keep this up. But this is a project that fills you with great pride, because this is something we've needed for a long time. And this is the ultimate sweat equity, because we take these special operators who come back and we say, you're going to be a part of this. We're not handing you a job. We're teaching you how to get and keep the job and make America a better place.
You know, we've been at war. This is the longest war in American history that we're doing over there. And a lot of these men and women don't want to go back to war, but that's all they understand is how to go to war. They don't want to fill out a resume or what to wear to a job interview. And I talked to some of these guys too, and they said, well, all I know how to do is go into a room and shoot a bunch of people. And I'm like, yeah, and you're really good at that. Mm-hmm. But
limited income opportunities, though, outside of war. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not always the customer is always wrong.
it's but, a heck of a way to
no, I mean, just, just, just the team building, the loyalty, working together, stress management, all that stuff. And they can bring in a lot of these people that are hiring. They're getting people that you can't teach this kind of thing in college. They people coming out of college aren't getting these, don't have these skills. And some of the men and women that we provide do have them. And
no question.
Do you have to talk the officers into the fact that they have these skills? Like, do you have to say, hey, you can do this?
It's a great question. And it is one, and it varies by person, right? And it is interesting that the younger guys, the guys that have done 10 to 12 years and maybe a couple of trips, they are absolutely fearless. And they are completely capable of walking in to, you know, Jamie Dimon's office and saying, hey, I would be a great investment banker. I'm ready to roll right this minute.
Right.
Versus some of the guys who have, you know, multiple master's degrees, have run organizations in excess of 5,000 people and budgets. And we do, Steve, spend a lot of time on the very front end of our program working with them so that they can understand where their value lies in the private sector. So that can establish this sort of foundation for all future interactions. What we believe, and Rob's a great example, is that the talent that evolves into the special operations community is commensurate with the highest level of talents anywhere in the private sector. Sure. And so what we do is help them make that transition so that they understand their value, number one, and number two, they are able to get into like situations with other high-performing companies where they can really sort of, you know, fit.
Rob O'Neill, with or without his permission, has become a very famous guy because you're the guy that ended Bin Laden. We've talked about it on the show. We'll talk about it again here.
That was like one, I think, of 13 missions that night. We got Rangers, Green Berets, Marines, SEALs going out that night. We had Rangers behind us. We had SEALs behind us. We had the helicopters flying. You know, we had Air Force pilots convincing the Pakistani pilots not to come after us.
Sure.
So it's a huge team effort all the way up to the president.
This one's different. This is Bin Laden. I don't know where you were.
This was different simply because we proved as a nation that if you're bad enough, we have the people that will come find you.
No matter how long it takes.
We'll do it. And we'll do it again. It's not like it's going to stop.
So for the rest of us trying to wrap our heads around what you guys did, what you did, what you accomplished that night, you can't go in thinking I'm going to die, can you?
No, we did. Yeah,
Are you saying you have to go in thinking
No. That was the only mission where I thought we were going to die because we didn't know if the technology worked. We did trust the pilots enough because the pilots, and I think Rob will agree with me, that they're the smartest people in the room, and they're going to fly us low, and they're going to get us in there, but like we don't know if this stuff works, and we'll get shot down, but even on the flight in, it's like, we might get shot down, we might get blown up, but me worrying about that right now is not going to help. I accept it, but it's why am I wasting my energy? Going up the final set of stairs, knowing that Bin Laden was a suicide bomber, when I turned and I saw him, and he wasn't surrendering, and he's a threat to everybody, and basically, Osama Bin Laden had a second to convince me not to kill him, and he didn't, and because of where we landed outside, and the other helicopter crash landed. The pilot saved him. I had the front row seat to the greatest mission in modern history. So I watched cool guys do cool stuff. That's all. That was it.
And
I just,
what a great slogan.
Yeah,
Navy SEALs watching cool guys do cool stuff. Love those guys. Unbelievable. Give that podcast a listen. You'll appreciate the fact that you did.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It is 9:46. Michael O'Hanlon, friend of the program, and he and I are practically twins. We're about the same age. We're both patriots. He's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. I am in my 38th year of my leave of absence from Ithaca College. Michael, we're almost twins.
I thought you were about to say we're both Patriot fans, which I'm not, by the way.
No, Patriots.
Yeah, I like that better.
Yeah, that's better. All right, serious question, Michael, and this is your field. You know the defense field much better than we do. Venezuela, Iran, or North Korea, what's the biggest threat to us right now?
North Korea, because they have nuclear weapons, and 200,000 Americans live in South Korea, and another almost 100,000 in Japan. Those countries are within range of current North Korean capability. And also, of course, the city of Seoul, more generally, has about 25 million people in that megalopolis, and they're all within range of various things from North Korea. And so even though Kim Jong-un and President Trump are getting along at the moment, we see worrying signs that things are getting worse. We don't see any progress on the nuclear file, and there's always the danger of a return back to the days of 2017 when I think war was, you know, becoming closer. And, you know, the old line about, once people have started to be friendly, or I guess in romance and literature, we talk about, lovers who have a falling out.
Right.
There can be a level of anger and lashing out and a repercussion associated with that, that if Kim Jong-un and or Donald Trump get to the point where they feel that their rapprochement of 2018 has been abused by the other and that there's no trust anymore, things could again be very dangerous. So I would have to say North Korea.
Iran, of course, is quite upset with us. We have made appropriate and inappropriate efforts, in my view, to shut down their economy. Venezuela is in our hemisphere. We don't know if that's a hot spot with the right person set to take power or if somebody else needs to be involved. All of this is with an acting defense secretary. Is that a problem?
Well, I like Patrick Shanahan. I think he's an able guy. You know, and it's hard to answer your question just on its own terms without putting this in the context of the overall Trump administration, which does a lot of things in an unorthodox way. Some of that's okay. Some of that usefully challenges conventional wisdom. But I don't see any benefit to having people. You're essentially lowering their stature and their clout when you keep them in an acting role. And, you know, when Mr. Shanahan might go around the world, when he testifies, no one's quite sure if he's got this job just for a few more weeks. No one's quite sure if he has the president's full confidence. So I don't think it allows him to be as effective. And so I think the Trump administration should view things in those terms, that they're actually disempowering their own people with this sort of approach. Having said that, I still like the guy and think he's doing basically a perfectly adequate caretaker job so far. I just don't like the idea of operating permanently in caretaker mode.
And the North Korea piece again, do we go back to square one with this? Because they said they wouldn't test. They're testing. Technicalities in the arrangement don't matter to me. They're throwing up projectiles. So are we back to zero when it comes to trying to strike a deal with them to not do this?
No, I think they're trying to make us worry that we could go back to zero or worse because, as you point out, there are some technicalities and nuance here. They're using short-range missiles, which were never our preeminent concern, and the moratorium that we cared about was on nuclear testing and long-range missile testing and perhaps medium-range testing because that can hit U.S. facilities in Japan or Guam. The shorter-range stuff is not nice, but the North Koreans are mostly trying to get our attention and implicitly signal, I believe, that things could get worse. And that if the talks continue to stalemate or go backward, then they can keep upping the ante. Because we know from what Kim Jong-un said to President Trump in Hanoi in February that the North Koreans are suffering under the sanctions. And so for them, the current situation is not good enough. For Donald Trump, it's almost partly good enough. He hasn't solved the problem, but he has good talking points that he's reduced the North Korean threat. Anytime he and world leader are having good, friendly conversations, there's unlikely to be a war. The North Koreans aren't doing long-range missile testing or nuclear testing. So Trump already has some talking points he can use to justify and defend his policy. But for the North Koreans, their economy is still hurting badly. And so I think they're trying to gradually lash out more and more to get our attention, maybe get the United States to think of some more creative approaches that could lead to a compromise.
Last question. Russia has influence in all the areas we're talking about. Is there any possibility in your world or mind that they will play a positive role that benefiting both of us?
Well, they play a positive role when it suits their interest, and that sounds like a way to evade your question, but it's really not, because even in the worst of times, even in 2014 after they seized Crimea and started causing aggression in the Donbas region of Ukraine, even in 2008 when they took part of North Georgia and threatened to overthrow the president there, we still cooperated with them on Iran sanctions, on North Korea policy, at various times on getting supplies into Afghanistan through former Soviet republics or over Russian territory through its airspace. They're very, very capable of compartmentalization. And they do want to overall weaken the United States and its broader role in the world, but that doesn't mean they have to apply that philosophy each and every time an acute crisis arises. And they want to maintain some degree of friendliness with Donald Trump, even if the rest of the United States is pretty upset with them. So for those reasons, I think there's always a chance they could be helpful, but we should not assume it, and we should also be asking, well, how could they be being devious? Because they're obviously very good at that, too. My bottom line guess is that overall, on North Korea policy, they've historically been pretty supportive. They've supported UN Security Council resolutions, for example, that impose sanctions. They probably will continue that, but I'm always second-guessing myself because I'm really not sure.
Michael O'Hanlon, you know better than we do. I always appreciate your insight, and thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Michael O'Hanlon, the Brookings Institution. Best or worst advice your mom ever gave you for Mother's Day, 630. Don't hold on to the anger when people act badly. You don't know what bad things happen in their life. Be glad every morning when you look in the mirror that you are you and not them in the mood that they're in. I like that.
What? I can't follow that. Look in the mirror?
Look in the mirror and be glad you are you. And don't own the anger. Don't hold on to the anger. Yeah. I've always told my kids, and I'm as you know, never going to be a mother, but I've always told my kids, you're not on anybody's agenda until you are. And then it's only for a short period of time. So if somebody's a jerk during your day, don't let them own the rest of your day. Just move on. Handle it however you handle it, but move on.
Water off a duck's back. Let's go.
312 best advice. If it's wet and it's not yours, don't touch it. 708. I listened to a woman who was a small child in Germany during World War II, raised by a single mother due to the war, immigrated to the USA as a GI bride in the 60s, received a kidney transplant due to a genetic condition, became a U.S. citizen, married for over 50 years before my father died. There is no bad advice, just lots of wisdom from a different perspective that I was blessed to have. How about that?
Yeah.
406, good morning, gang, from Montana. Best advice my mom ever gave me, remember who you are. Never let anyone keep you down. Never do anything to tarnish your name. 312, best advice my mom gave me, get rid of that girl, she's a winch. 312-9170-200. We'll get a few more of these in before we're done. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy next, and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be. Hi, Bill and Wendy.
Hello, Steve.
Good morning.
Boy, we've got a lot of great texters.
I want to know if Wendy has any motherly advice, what she says.
Well, hold
to
on, because she could trump this. She could be the big closer. Okay. She could be the kid.
Don't count on it.
Oh. Hi, Steve. Best advice mom ever gave me was get an education for a job, make a living with it, take care of your kids in case your husband bolts. Mom got to junior year in high school when she married our dad, who left her with four kids. She eventually got her associate's degree, became one of the first female police officers in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Margaret in Bridgeport. Isn't that a nice story?
No. Now, how is Wendy supposed to top that?
Well, there's more.
Hmm.
Yeah. Let me get the one that, you know, is real toppable.
Okay.
219, my mom told me when I was a teen, don't ever do anything that you'd be ashamed to tell me. Well, that's a long list. Bad advice from mom, 708. You need to go out and get a polyester leisure suit. You'll look good in it. Not good. No, not good advice. 630, my mom gave me bad advice, said everything eventually works out. Said, no, actually, no. No, really, it kind of doesn't. And then there's this, 847, when I was older dealing with a jerky boyfriend, my mom said, when I was young, we didn't give it up till we got something in return.
Aggressive.
That's beautiful.
Thank you for all the texts. Happy
you
early Mother's Day.
A pillow.
More tomorrow. We got some show moms tomorrow. It's a tradition here.
We do have some show moms. I want to know, Wendy, you got any advice?
No.
All right. My mom gave me good advice. Always stand on your own 2 feet. You can be successful on your own. You don't need anyone.
Need no stinking
that's
man.
That's man. Yeah. Yeah. In case you read between the lines.
But then she said, don't look in the mirror as much as you do, because if you do, you'll get worms in your stomach. We had a giant picture window, and at night it was like a mirror. Yeah, so I would dance and do things, and she said, stop looking in the mirror. You'll get worms in your stomach.
Where'd the worms part come from?
I don't know.
That explains the nature, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Bill?
My mom used to say, and I don't think I appreciated it at the time, but now that I'm older, she would just say, hey, get out of there. Give someone else a chance.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
You've learned.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That was aggressive, too.
That's a very good point.
Yeah,
it was. Well, but that's good advice.
Yeah.
Plug for today?
Yes. We're going to squeeze in a show before the White Sox are at Cleveland, and boy, are their bats tired.
That's going to be tough. 10:15 first pitch today. Is that what it is? What time are you guys off?
11:30.
Yeah, 11:35.
Yeah.
So get that good
bonus
show on.
Hour and a half today.
Thanks for listening, and we'll come back tomorrow.